Well, good morning and happy December. It's crazy to believe. The Advent season is here and Christmas is on its way. And you can tell that Christmas is coming by all the signs, can't you? Lights appearing on rooftops, the scent of gingerbread lattes and peppermint mochas in the coffee shop, your neighbor's slightly overzealous inflatable Santa in their yard, the Glenkirk Sanctuary beautifully decorated, and our new Advent devotionals that are for the whole month, so grab yours on your way out. Yes, you can tell Christmas is coming from the lights and the smells and the decorations, but my favorite sign that Christmas is coming is the sounds. And in my house, the sound of Christmas is unmistakable. It's the smooth, jazzy piano of Vince Guaraldi's Charlie Brown Christmas, the soundtrack of the 1965 Charlie Brown movie. That is by far my favorite Christmas album, and it fills my house with Christmas cheer and warmth. It's like an audible, cozy blanket. When that music comes on, I know that Christmas is coming. What about you? What is the sound of Christmas in your house? This morning we enter the season of Advent and we're beginning a new series called Songs of the Season. And as much as I love Christmas music that you hear on the radio, those are not the songs that we're talking about. Instead, over the next 4 weeks, we will be looking at the songs in Scripture that speak to the heart of the Christmas story, the biblical songs that point to the arrival of Jesus at Christmas. And the first of these songs can be found on page 381 of your Pew Bibles. It is from 1 Samuel 2, beginning in verse 1. So if you are willing and able, would you stand for the reading of God's word today? Hear the word of the Lord. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord, and the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak such arrogance, for the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who are full hired themselves out for food, but those who are hungry no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she who has had many sons pines away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and rises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He sets them with princes and has them inherit a seat, a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful servants, but the wicked will be silenced in the place of darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be broken. The Most High will thunder from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You can be seated. So this passage is known as Hannah's song. And before we dive into the story of Hannah, I just want to take a moment to acknowledge something. I know that this story can be difficult for some to hear, for those longing for children or struggling with infertility or grieving loss. Because the reality of our world is that not everyone who prays for a miracle child gets to hold that child in their arms. And I think it's important that we acknowledge that. And if that is you today, your pain is valid, you are deeply loved by God, and you are a valued member of this community. Well, this passage is known as Hannah's song. And Hannah's story begins the book of 1 Samuel. Hannah was a devout woman, and she was deeply grieved because she was unable to have children. And this was made all the worse because her husband's other wife had plenty of children and mocked Hannah about it. In her anguish, Hannah fervently prayed to God, saying, "God Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and give me a son, I will dedicate him to your service all the days of his life." Well, God answered Hannah's prayer, and she gave birth to a son and named him Samuel. And true to her word, When he was weaned, but still just a small boy, she presented him at the temple to be dedicated to the service of God. And in our passage this morning, Hannah sings this song after she has just given over her son to Eli the priest. Now, dedicating your son to the service of God at the temple means that he will be raised at the temple and not in your own home. It means that he will be raised by the priests and not by you. And so you would think that with the song that you would hear right after she gives over her son, this one she has prayed for and longed for, that this would be a song of sorrow, or at least regret for the deal that she had made before God. But in our scripture today, that's not what we see. Instead, we see Hannah singing with joy about the faithfulness of a good God. Hannah's song is interesting for so many reasons. I mean, it's beautiful, it's captivating, it's inspiring. But Hannah's song is also interesting because there are pieces that fit within Hannah's story and pieces that don't fit. Let me explain what I mean. Hannah sings about praising God and speaking of God's deliverance. Well, that fits within her story, doesn't it? God hears her and delivers her from the things she is suffering from. Hannah sings about telling those who are proud and boastful to be quiet, and that could be talking about her husband's other wife. Again, that fits within her story. Hannah sings about those with no children being given children. It fits. But then there are things in her story that don't fit, things in her song that don't fit into the story. Hannah sings about the bows of warriors being broken and those who are hungry being filled and God thundering from heaven and judging the earth. We see none of these things in Hannah's story. And perhaps most strange of all, Hannah speaks of God giving strength to God's king and exalting the horn of God's anointed. But Hannah is living in a time when Israel did not have a king. If you remember back to our series in 1 and 2 Kings, you might remember that at the beginning, the people of God didn't have a king. In fact, if you were to read the story of God's people in the first 8 books of the Bible, Genesis through Ruth, you would see that there is no king. There's no royal line. Instead, the people were led and served by a team of prophets and priests and judges, and they all worked together to help the people remain faithful to the covenant of God. So Hannah lived in this time during Israel, before they had any kings. So why is she singing about God's king and God's anointed? Well, the story continues after our passage. After Hannah has Samuel and hands him over to the temple and sings this beautiful song, Samuel grows up to be a righteous man. He becomes a prophet and later a judge and leader of Israel. And it is Samuel, Hannah's son, who later anoints Saul and inaugurates him as Israel's first king. And it is Samuel, Hannah's son, who later anoints David and inaugurates him as Israel's second king. Hannah's song isn't just about what God had already done in her life through giving her a son. Hannah's song is also about what God will do through that son. And furthermore, Hannah sings that God raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to set them on thrones of honor. This doesn't appear in Hannah's story. But in the story of David, we see a poor shepherd boy who God raises to sit on the throne of Israel. Hannah's song praises God for what God has done in her life, and it also prophesies about what God will do. And interestingly enough, Hannah's song is remarkably similar to the one that King David sings near the end of his life. We see this song in 2 Samuel 22. And they're remarkably similar. Both Hannah's song and David's songs talk about God laying the foundation of the earth and sending thunder from heaven. Both tell how God is faithful to God's people. Both sing of God giving great victories and strength to God's king. Both sing of horns, which can symbolize strength and victory, but which also might be talking about the vessel that Samuel held the oil in that he anointed David with. Both give warnings to the proud and speak of God raising the poor and the humble. and both mention thrones or being raised up. They are remarkably similar. And these two songs are like bookends to the story found in 1 and 2 Samuel. 1 Samuel opens with Hannah and her story and her song, and 2 Samuel closes with David's story and his song. It shows the remarkable cohesiveness of God's word. Hannah's song is truly remarkable. But what does it have to do with Christmas? And that is indeed the question this morning. And the answer to that question lies with Mary, mother of Jesus. Because Mary also sings a song. Her song is found in Luke chapter 1. It's sometimes called the Magnificat, and I would bet that it's a little more familiar to us than Hannah's or David's song. But this song, I won't go too much into it because it may or may not be the topic for next week's sermon. Sorry, Tim. But Mary's song also bears remarkable resemblance to Hannah's and David's. Mary's song also gives warnings to the proud and speaks of God raising the poor or the humble. Mary's song also sings of thrones and declares that God will fill the hungry. I wonder if Hannah ever dreamed that her words would inspire a future king of Israel and the mother of our Lord. The hope of a barren woman given a child inspired a shepherd boy who became a king, and 1,000 years later, a young Jewish girl under Roman occupation who was promised to deliver the Savior. Hannah's song is a song of the Christmas season because it is echoed in Mary's own song in the Christmas story. And Hannah's song is a song of Christmas because it finds its ultimate fulfillment not in the story of David, but in the story of Mary's son that she will bear. Let's put that last slide back up, if it's not up. Just take a look at the first four themes that are repeated in Hannah and David's songs. While Hannah and David sing about God creating the earth and sending thunder from heaven, the baby in Mary's womb is the one who created the earth and who came down from heaven. While Hannah and David sing about God's faithfulness, the baby in Mary's womb is the fulfillment of God's faithfulness, for he is the promised Messiah. While Hannah and David sing about God's king, the baby in Mary's womb is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Israel's true king. And while Hannah and David sing about God's anointed one, the baby in Mary's womb is the Messiah, which literally means anointed one. And where Hannah's song declares that the Lord brings death and makes alive, brings down to the grave and raises up, the baby in Mary's womb shows us what that really means. When he dies on a cross, is buried, and rises again on the third day. Hannah's song is a song of Christmas because 1,000 years before Jesus, she sang of the hope of the coming Messiah. Hannah's song is a song of the season because it was fulfilled in a manger in the city of David on that first Christmas night. Hannah's song is a song of the season because it's all about Jesus and what Jesus will do to set things right. Did you notice that all the things Mary's and Hannah's songs have in common are reversals? They say that God scatters the proud but exalts the humble. God brings down rulers from their thrones but lifts the poor. Fills the hungry but sends the rich away. In other words, when Jesus comes, he will set all things right. And this is the true sound of Christmas. Because in the words of Pastor Olivia Metcalf, the truth of life is that sometimes the world around us seems impossibly dark and broken. Sometimes our families seem beyond hope and beyond repair. There are times when our churches are divided and bitter instead of united in love of God and neighbor. Sometimes our work feels meaningless and unproductive. But those who have gone before us felt that too. In the songs of Hannah and David and Mary, there is shame, there are enemies, there is treachery, there is sin, there is injustice, and we can relate. But what do we do when all around us feels like despair? On this first Sunday of Advent, we light a candle. And the light of the single flame is a reminder to us of the inbreaking hope in the darkness of our world. And as Christmas comes ever nearer, we are reminded that this light is not the only light that shines, for our God, who will set everything right, has come as a baby in a manger. There is hope all around us and within us as we remember Jesus' first coming at Christmas. And there is hope all around us and within us as we anticipate Jesus' second coming, where he will make everything right. What is the true sound of Christmas? It's not the sound of jingle bells or chestnuts roasting over an open fire or even the smooth jazz of Charlie Brown Christmas. The true sound of Christmas, the true song of the season, is God destroying our enemies and freeing us from our oppression, Jesus sitting on the throne, God being faithful to God's people, the people of God participating in setting all things right, like filling the hungry and serving the poor, the childless getting children and raising the dead. This is the light of hope, sung by Hannah, echoed through the words of King David, and reiterated through the words of Mary. A thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices. May that same hope resound in us this Advent season. Because we know that no matter how hard things are, no matter how bad things get, no matter how dark the world around us, a single candle still flickers. Hannah's song of hope becomes the anthem of David and Mary and all who cling to hope in the midst of despair. It becomes the anthem of the hungry, the barren, the poor, the lowly, the needy. Hannah's song becomes the anthem of you and of me. Because one day all things will be set right because Jesus came at Christmas. This is the hope that Christmas stirs in us. This is the true sound of Christmas and the first song of the season. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you. As this season begins, we are aware of the darkness around us. And we are thankful of the reminder of the single flame, that hope is breaking through, that light is breaking through, and at Christmas we will see the light fully known. Thank you for sending your son. Thank you for echoing these words of hope through Hannah and David and Mary. Let them echo also through us, we pray. Amen.